coins alive, what you gon' do? Man, pool fees are high, high. Order no, order no, order no. Where does it stop? Nobody knows. It's a revolution, ayy. Bitcoin is the one, no substitution, ayy. Wish you seen you go, be it's order no revolution.
Welcome back to Order Revolution. My name is Shizzy. On this channel, we cover the entire Bitcoin Ordinal ecosystem. What is up, guys? We have an amazing show for you guys today, like always. But today is extra special because we're talking about bitmaps. And obviously here, we love bitmaps, right? Our logo is a damn bitmap, right? So we are really, really bullish on bitmaps. Obviously, it's taking a dip, but we're not worried. We know what it's going to be. We know the people behind that's working behind the scenes. There's a lot going on that people just don't realize. And, you know, that's fine. I kind of like it. I kind of like being the guy underneath now. Like, we're not on top no more, but it's all right because let runes do their thing. Let the side chains do their thing. And then bitmaps will come up later and like they never left. And it's going to be absolutely amazing. But today we have Ben Schiller on. He's building this amazing platform called Bitmap 420. And, you know, they're like backing from the Bitcoin Startup Labs. Like, it's going to be huge. And we're glad to get them on way before they even get started. So really excited for this one. But without further ado, I'm going to bring in my partner here, as always, Mr. Yago B. What's up, buddy?
What's up, man?
What's going on?
Had to wear my bitmap represent for this episode. Yeah.
So this is something that you brought to me. We had a nice discussion on it after you brought it, and we were checking out the site, and we're like, "Holy crap! This looks like it's going to be pretty big." What can you tell me about this project?
So the first thing is, I feel like it's perfect timing for this to come out. It was, you know, kind of it was a bit sad to see like the energy of Bitmap kind of come down, right? But like you said, there was stuff happening behind the scenes that we weren't seeing. But when I found out who was kind of leading the charge here, it got me really excited. When we found out it was Ben Schiller, we've had him in our spaces several times when we used to do our Saturday morning spaces, and we know that he's gained a lot of experience from the Bitcoin Startup Lab, a lot of leadership from Albert and his guys over there, and you know, it made me feel just really good because I know there was a call to action from Jeff and Merlin Chain and some other people in the space about like, hey, let's help, let's get some builders, let's start building Bitmap up again. And then this comes out, you know, and a couple other things too, like the Bitmap Emporium and stuff. So I'm like, okay, lately I'm feeling better, and I'm really excited to get Ben up and ask him, you know, get deep into what they got planned because it looks really exciting.
Yeah, I'd be lying to you if I wasn't excited about these prices, though. This is, you know, these are amazing prices for Bitmap. But without further ado, let's bring in the man himself, Ben Schiller. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Thank you guys so much for having me.
For sure. Yeah, man. All right, Ben, let's dig into it, man. You know, on the show, obviously, we're going to talk about your project. Can't wait to dig into it. But we kind of want to know the person behind it, right? So if without good people in the space, we don't have a good space. But we think you're one of the good ones. So if you can kind of tell us as far back as possible, just about yourself.
Yeah, so, you know, jumping off from your show, I think that's a good starting point. So I initially found you guys because I am a creator in the space, right? So you know, I bought my first Bitcoin, you know, long ago, completely. I think like a lot of people in Bitcoin, you know, moved on to other things because, quite frankly, Bitcoin was boring for a very long period of time. And it wasn't until probably February of last year when I first heard about ordinals that I was like, oh, Bitcoin might be exciting again. So, you know, that same feeling the first time around where I was like, you know, I downloaded a desktop Bitcoin wallet for the first time in God knows how long, you know, just staying up all night, kind of going, you know, reading everything about inscriptions and, you know, just that exciting feeling that you get when you're like, oh, wait a minute, have I eaten today? Because you're like, you know, so into it, and you know all the experiences that goes with it, right? Where it's like, uh-oh, I think I just spent the thing I inscribed. You know, all the lessons. So just reaching out and trying to educate myself, and came across your guys' show, yeah, just started to kind of. I think one of the thing that just put the excitement to even the next level is just just seeing how supportive people are in terms of, you know, building the community, building the community of builders, right? So just getting encouragement, getting information, getting knowledge, getting experience from other people. I had a chance to talk with Danny Yang from Onchain Monkey, and you know, one of the things we were talking about was the idea of recursion, which technically is, you know, using a piece of code that's on chain to build something else, right? But that's also kind of like the ethos of the community, where it's like people are just kind of like building and sharing on top of one another to continue expanding. So that's the vibe that sort of got me. And from there, it was just like, okay, well, how can we have fun? How can we push it? How can, you know, how can we do all the things that I want to do in my head and share them with other people? So, and just in terms of one other thing, in terms of background, so I, you know, come at it with a experience of working and you know, as a professional artist. So a lot of the like 3D and 2D stuff and coding that ends up being on chain, that was kind of already in my wheelhouse, and then sort of cross that with just being a crypto nerd. This is kind of like the perfect intersection of that with one more other thing, which we'll get into as we get into the core of Bitmap 420 and sort of the digital land aspect. I also have a background in traditional real world assets as well. Have the great fortune to be mentored by a real estate mogul that has, you know, 5 billion assets under management. So kind of seeing how the processes work when it comes to that scale of land management, and sort of taking that vision as we go through and sort of start to construct the digital land world. So that sort of, that's my triangle of intersection, being a crypto nerd, being an artist, and also into real world assets and land.
That's awesome, man. A lot of experience for sure. Let's talk a little bit about how you stumbled upon Bitcoin Startup Lab. Obviously, that's been a big influence of guiding you and stuff like that. Could you talk a little bit about how you found it and your experience with it?
Yeah, so that's it's one of those serendipitous things, and you know, it just, I don't know what you believe in, but I believe that there aren't any accidents. So the more random things happen, it's like, okay, that's the pointer in the right direction. And it was one of those things where it was like, I kind of have this idea, but you know, I don't even know where to start. And it's like, I think it could be massive. Actually, I know it could be massive, and I don't really see anyone doing it. And it was just one of those things where it was like, if I, you know, just type it into the Google machine, if I wanted to do this, how would I start? And like, that was just the first thing. It was like, oh, Bitcoin Startup Lab. We've got, you know, a cohort starting now. And I think the deadline was in like a couple of days. So it was like, do this right now. So, it's the guys are very, very accessible. So, you know, reach out to Albert, and it's just one of those things. You have you immediately have a connection, you have a great chat, and it's like, yeah, this makes perfect sense. So I just leave it to good fortune. No such thing as accidents. We just, you know, you just, sometimes you just feel when you meet the right person at the right time, when you're the right person to meet that person, where it just all sort of aligns. That was just one of those things.
Awesome. Could you kind of give us your experience from like first joining till like the end of the cohort?
Yeah. So I highly recommend anyone, whatever stage they're at, if it's just a glimpse of an idea to something you're already working on, if you truly want to, and this is if there's anything as quote unquote a catch. The catch is, you know, they really are building things to be ultimately to be, investment ready startup. So not everything needs to have investors, and that's totally, totally cool. But that's what this is, Bitcoin Startup Lab. That's like their tagline. We build investment ready startups. So having said that, it's, I think the thing that I have got and still get is just having a kind of a scientific approach. I mean, that's, I think their secret sauce is really distilling what could be a very, you know, confusing and you know, sort of amorphous process into something that has a lot more structure. So when I talk about that, it's like, okay, you know, this is the structure of going out and talking to 100 people, right? You know, so many, myself included, so many people, it's like, I've got an idea and I want to build this thing and, you know, let's make a demo. And it's like, nope, don't build anything. Just talk to a lot of people. And what you're trying to do is actually invalidate the thing that you fell in love with, right? So it's like this great idea. The first thing that you do is try to find all the different ways that it won't work. And really get an honest opinion of people, you know, if they truly get excited about it, because most often people aren't going to tell you what they really think. So you have to take your emotions out of it and just, you know, make it all data, right? And just focus on that. And from there, it's, you know, once you get that going, it's constantly getting feedback. So that way you're never really out in the wilderness. You're never really committed to something. And I've done this in the past on projects where it's like, you know, I've literally spent years of my life. I've literally spent millions of dollars to get to the end of a rabbit hole. And you're like, oh, wait a minute. The market doesn't actually want this thing that I fell in love with so much. So it's really a process of, it's a seemingly counterintuitive process of, you know, really trying to have people punch you in the face on a daily basis. But the point is you either learn how to duck or you get stronger and you evolve, right? And ultimately you get to the point where, and this is the results that I think a lot of people see, which is like, you look at Liquidium, you look at Velar, you look at all of these companies that are like, oh, wow, they're just growing so fast. And, you know, they found something perfect. How lucky were they? And it's like, no, it's not lucky at all. They, you know, followed this process and they've gotten to the point that they're at now, not, you know, by happenstance, but by calculation. And I think having that process in place is just, I mean, I could not pay these people enough. And then it's actually working the other way around, like they're giving me stuff. So it's pretty amazing. And then the other thing I'll add to that is just the network of people involved. You go to the BTC Startup Lab site and you see the roster of advisors, of, you know, co-investors. It's insane. So on a weekly basis, you know, you're in there like 4 days a week, you know, a few hours, 2 to 4 hours a day, depending on what the schedule of the day is. And, you know, just to like 1 week we had, okay, here's Domo talking about the future of BRC20. Here's Casey telling us about what's upcoming in Runes. Here's Danny from OCN. Here's Jason from Sora Ventures. And it's just like on and on and on and on. And everyone's just giving you like unfiltered, you know, this isn't being recorded most of the time. So they're giving you like the real, you know, the real deal, you know, perspective, and they're sharing their experience. So it's super, super valuable. And it's, you know, just paying immense dividends. I can't speak highly enough about it.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So from what you just said, I imagine that you didn't end up doing what your original idea was when you first got there. Am I correct?
Yeah. So I think we pivoted like 6 times before we, gotcha, we kind of got to like, oh, I think we've narrowed it down. It was kind of, it was all loosely in the same direction, but, definitely much more focused.
Yeah. And they encourage pivoting if it, you know, because I know like they actually encourage failure there. We've talked about this on the spaces and stuff. So that's awesome. You know, I definitely also encourage anybody that like has any ideas out there. If you're in the Bitcoin ecosystem space, you know, Ben Schiller definitely has given praise to Albert and his crew over there. But yeah, that's awesome, man. I'm so glad that you, because you were in our spaces like for the past like 6 months, I want to say, like in and out, just, you know, popping in and stuff. And sounds like you got your project now.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's that's the other thing. It's, you know, being able to not only have the structure of talking to people, but, you know, by being in communities like yours, it's like having the people to talk to. I mean, and that's just a whole nother, I think, value that you guys add and some of the other shows out there. It's like being aggregators for people. So it's like just those conversations and meeting people in spaces. It's like, hey, I've got this idea. What do you think about this? And being able to get that, you know, honest feedback from people who are actually doing stuff in the space. I think that's been an added bonus as well.
For sure.
I agree. All right, man, let's get into what everyone's been waiting for. What is Bitmap 420? How to get started and where are we going with this?
Yeah, so the Bitmap 420, our ultimate goal is to, you know, unleash the power of Bitcoin metaverse assets. So first let's talk about the Bitcoin metaverse. You know, there's basically two parts to it, right? You have the land, which is Bitmap, and then you have the assets and experiences, which right now is under the BRC 420 protocol. So affectionately known as the Metaverse Protocol. So hence our name, Bitmap 420. You can see exactly what we're focusing on. So the broad idea, first off, is that, you know, I think we all share this idea, which is all the fun stuff that's been happening on other chains for however long is eventually inevitably going to come to the Bitcoin blockchain, right? So that includes the old metaverse. So all the stuff that you saw on Ethereum, Decentraland, Sandbox, and the lot, all that eventually, that type of stuff will come to Bitcoin, and it will come on top of Bitmap. So seemingly that's inevitable. And you look at the numbers of that, height of bull market, just those three, Decentraland, Axie, and Sandbox, has like, you know, $20+ billion. So, right. So when I say Bitmap to 20K, it's like, well, that's where the number comes from. Let's say by the time we're at, you know, block 1 million, market cap's 20 billion plus, that's where you get the 20,000. Although I always do caveat it with, we might go to zero before we hit 20,000. And we'll talk about the price a little bit later, but that's the sort of, level one of things. And that's where I started, like I said, you know, coming to your show as a creator. I love the idea. I love the artistic challenge of being a creator for on-chain art. The canvas of the Bitcoin blockchain has such limitations, right? In terms of space, in terms of, size of things. It's like, you have to really be creative to get something impactful and actually be able to inscribe that on chain. But as an artist, the constraints ultimately are the source of creativity, right? So you look at some of the things that folks are doing, Bobbleton, Argen, Astral, and you just look at like all these crazy experiences that they're putting on chain, and it's like, how did you do that? Right, all the coding that's involved, all the optimization, all of the compression, so you have this crazy technical side of things, but ultimately that creates something, you know, visually beautiful, and that's a great experience. So just as an artist, I love that challenge. So that made me gravitate towards Bitmap, that made me gravitate towards BRC 420. So started with, okay, hey, I'm just gonna like create cool stuff, and with the assumption that, you know, this, all the things behind it were going to continue to evolve, right? So if you look at the BRC 420, and we call them protocols and standards, right now they're very loose social consensus. So if you actually read the paper, I'd say it's maybe like 15% complete or something like that. And it says placeholder here, you know, 3D metadata descriptions. We'll get to that part later. And it's like 2D descriptions. And yeah, we can do music and and all these other asset types. But those are left, the fields for those are left blank. And it's like, okay, fine. Let's start going, and you know, the road will rise to meet you. And I think I got to a point, and a lot of other creators are at this point now, where it's like that development hasn't continued. And we can get into that because I think it's important to the broad arc of not only Bitmap and 420, but definitely what we're doing. But we're at this point where I think a lot of assumptions about what would be developed haven't come to pass. And to me, you can either complain about things, you can, you know, get out the pitchforks, or opportunity, right? Here's like a golden opportunity to actually build the things that you want to exist, right? It's like, how do you predict the future? It's like, you make it. Okay. So yeah. That's sort of, you know, just personally where I'm coming from. On a practical level, it means that, okay, how do we make these things more accessible? How do you get, you know, a million people onto Bitmap? How do you get people who are artists and get their assets, who see all this exciting thing, all these exciting things happening? How do you get them on chain? And you need a common language. So those two things, being able to make things more accessible on one side, and then continuing to progress to actually make the tools that make it easier for people to create, for people to engage, for people to expand, for people to build whatever experiences that they're going to build. That's the kind of the underpinnings of what we're trying to do. So I'll say that's the broad part, and then I can get into specifics of, but first I just want to make sure, do you guys have any questions or thoughts on that before I continue?
Yeah, I do. So, you know, this sounds great, Bitmap 420, but it, you know, first for someone that's been in the space like Shizzy and myself, you know, for a while, immediately we see that, you know, you guys have partnered with Merlin Chain, which I think is really great because it's, you know, you think about the scaling side. But where is your focus going to be first? Is it going to be on like Bitmap, BRC420, those platforms, layer one, or is it on the scaling side for Merlin Chain? I know that's kind of a curveball at first question out the gate, but I'm just kind of curious where your mind is. What needs the most attention?
Yeah, so that's a great question, and that gets to I think the core of what we're looking at, which is there's three basic components that we're dealing with. So one is looking at, let's call them digital land management tools in the most bland approach possible. But just to give you a straight view of what we're looking at. So that's really about bringing utility to Bitmap. So first question most people ask me is like, okay, Bitmap, which one is good? Right, like which one should I buy? And right now, there's really no simple way to determine that. So this is where something like using our AI analysis tool, where, you know, we're looking at the Bitmap white paper, looking at all the value theories of Bitmap, looking at all of the, or cataloging Bitmaps according to their block tributes, their block attributes. And based on what somebody values, we can point them to say, okay, you like numbers, you like Chinese lucky numbers. Okay, these ones are probably, and you want to go, you know, within this price range, you want, you know, this timeline. These are probably the ones that should be on your target list, right? Nothing like that exists to try to answer the most basic question, which one should I buy? And it's like, okay, why is no one buying? How about we try to answer that? Which one should I buy, right? And you talk about, so these are just like, you know, super, super simple things where, and, you know, I turn to, you know, the core dev, my friend Jason on this, and we look at each other and we're like, how come no one's built this? And we're like, oh, we're the ones to build it. Okay, great. Another thing, which is like, okay, There's 840,000 and plus whatever since block halving bitmaps, right? And, you know, maybe people buy one of those when it gets to time, but my sense is that, you know, communities are probably going to want to gravitate around each other, which what communities do. So maybe a block, and we're seeing this with Bitmap Emporium, right? Where it's like, it's not exactly yet, but you can see in the collection, it's like the collection is based on a single bitmap, and the amount of artworks in the collection is based on the amount of transactions in the bitmap, right? Which are parcels. And it's like, okay, well, if you actually wanted to parcel a bitmap, everyone can do it now, but it's super, super clunky. It's kind of, you have to hop through, you know, multiple sites, you're copying and pasting. It doesn't adhere, at least to this, the way people are doing it now, it doesn't really adhere to the standard ordinals parent-child relationship process. And it's like, well, why don't we just do that? And if you read the bitmap white paper, it's literally in there. It says parent-child relationship. And once again, we're like, how come no one's built a parent-child relationship parceling tool? So that's literally the first thing we're doing is parent-child parceling. Second thing, AI analysis to try to answer those basic you know, utility questions, which we think are going to you know, make it easy for people to come in, right? That should be like, no matter what business you're in, it's just like, are we making it easier for you to buy stuff from us? And if we consider the us being bitmaps, it's like, yeah, which one should I buy? And how can I get one, right? Okay, so let's start by answering that. The second part, which I think is implied in your question, is the sort of second tranche of things that we're looking at, which are the metaverse asset trading. So I don't think there's really a good place to trade bitmap right now. There's a lot of marketplaces, but the way the characteristics of bitmaps, and then we're just talking bitmaps, let alone parcels, let alone non-arbitrary tokens, and we'll definitely get into that. But just with bitmaps, it's like trying to trade Forex on Robinhood. There's like so much data and it's not really being addressed. So you can't really appreciate the true value of what you're getting, because right now all the marketplaces basically treat bitmaps as just another NFT, right? If you go on Magic Eden, God bless them, thank you for the volume, but you can't really tell much about what you're buying when you're looking at Magic Eden, right? It's just like, they're all kind of like laid out together. There's no way to, you know, to sort of cluster and bundle things that you want together, because they're looking at things as from an NFT side of things, as opposed to what I think the untapped potential for bitmap is really in thinking of it as block data markets. And that gets into what you're talking about with non-arbitrary tokens. It starts to get into, let's say you want to develop a game and you want a certain amount of rarity in the, you know, the crystals that are part of your game, but you want the whole thing to exist on chain. Obviously the best place to get on chain data is the block itself, right? So, you know, how can you identify that? How can you create a market around that? How can you create assets, ultimately have the, you know, quote unquote land generate those assets, if you can't even see what it is that you're buying. So you know, that gets into the second part, which is the bitmap BRC420 marketplace that also takes into account this sort of view as block data markets. That's I think the simplest way to put it. So those are the two big buckets. So it's the land management part and then the marketplace part. So starting with the land management part, and then it's like, okay, once we build momentum around there, then, you know, we'll have more tradable things that would trade in the way that that we're kind of thinking about it, and then develop the marketplace around that. And I think, you know, that's where you get into, you know, obviously that sort of trading most likely would seemingly have to take place on a layer two for any level of efficiency. And that's how we're seeing the usage of not only of Merlin Chain, but, and I'll get a little bit into the technical part of Merlin Chain and why it's attractive. First and foremost, it's attractive because one, it's available, it like actually exists. Two, pretty much all of our sort of customer base, they're already there. Kind of, so, you know, any startup, one of the challenges that you're going to get is, you know, trying to aggregate people to use your thing. And it's like, you know, I don't have to re-educate people on what bitmaps are, what BRC-420 is, because Merlin Chain's already done it. So, you know, if you can kind of take that equation out, part of the equation out, and just get straight to, do you actually want this thing that I have? That's just an infinite time saver, infinite resource saver. That's the second thing. But the third thing is Merlin Chain is basically, you know, I hear the criticisms like, ah, it's Polygon. It's not exactly. So it's the Polygon CDK, which is the chain development kit. So Polygon basically said, okay, we're going to build this ZK layer mechanism, and you can use it on top of any type of chain. So you just heard OKX, they released their X layer. So it's that with Ethereum as the underpinning. So what Merlin Chain did was swap out the Ethereum part, put in Bitcoin, and boom, there you go, we've got Merlin Chain. But the promise of the Polygon CDK is that anyone who uses that on any chain, whether that's Near or Cosmos or ICP, as long as you have the Polygon CDK layer, you should be able to freely move assets across chain within that layer. So if we're talking about bringing liquidity to Bitmap, BRC-420, and block data markets, that's a pretty massive way. If you can bring together all of these chains and have assets freely move between multiple layer twos, that would certainly help to solve the liquidity problem.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a, whew, man, that's a lot. But the one thing that you said that really got me excited, and I kind of wish that you would do the second part first and do the first part second, because I think that that's how NATs should have been launched initially to benefit the Bitmap community. Now, and I understand people, you know, wanted to do the standard their way. It was their project and stuff like that. And I respect that. I do. But I think like to have like this really robust ecosystem for Bitmap is and what will get the Bitmap community excited again, because we need this like resurgence of energy, would be to, you know, pull data from each bitmap as, you know, BRC-420 assets in a game or whatever based on data, right? So I'm excited about that for you guys to do that. And like I said, I wish that you guys would do that first, but I get you guys have a plan and everything like that. But am I right? That's what you guys are shooting for, by the way?
Yeah. And I think one of the reasons that we're doing it is exactly doing it in this way is you touched on something there, right? Which is you want to have data that has the capacity to create assets. So just using, you know, a basic, let's call, you know, farmland type game where it's like, okay, I've got my bitmap, I've got my particular parcel. This parcel is going to create wheat within this game. I'll trade it within the game and so on and so forth. Right now, the process of bitmap to parcel to asset to tradable asset, ultimately that game is going to look at that asset and go, okay, where did this come from? Right? Because I need to know where it came from before it's going to be valid within my game. And right now, there's no way to trace that back, because ultimately everyone's going to eventually get to the point where it's like, I'm not going to refer to any off-chain database for ownership, which is what we have now with ordinals collections, right? It's like it's a JSON file sitting on, you know, Magic Eden servers, and that's fine. I upload JSON files to Magic Eden all the time. But sooner or later, people are going to be like, you know, on-chain or GTFO, right? So that whole thread can't exist right now. So that marketplace for those, you know, that digital corn, that digital wheat, it can't exist because no one can say, hey, where did this thing come from? So that's why we need to get at the very core is like, okay, let's make sure we do this that fits the current, you know, ordinals parent-child relationship. That's just like one of those core, just like, if you don't build this, then all the other stuff doesn't come. So if you want a marketplace where you're trading all those, you know, crystals and minerals, they're going to need to show provenance. And if the provenance isn't on chain, then it's all going to fall apart, right? It's never going to get started, let alone fall apart. So I think it's the first part is something we can do, you know, relatively quickly, and then move on to the other parts, which, and I definitely have your excitement. I desperately want to, just for my own personal, you know, satisfaction and to pump my own bags and build so many BRC420 things that it's like, it's basically impossible to find them. Like, you know, trading BRC420 assets are just, as Jeff said on your show, it's not the best experience. So if we can make it easier to be able to trade all of these assets, whether it's Bitmap, whether it's BRC420, and ultimately the non-arbitrary tokens, I think there needs to be a better name for that, because there's like, you know, there's, I was going with something more natural, natural something arbitrary, because there it's like, it's basically mining Bitmap, right?
I mean, so, it would just make it so much more exciting. I have, like, let's say right now I have like 106 Bitmaps, right? And I would like want to go back into my Bitmaps and look at every single one of them, you know what I mean, and be like, okay, how many of this BRC420 do I have on this Bitmap? How many, you know, it would just, like, I feel like re-energize like the whole Bitmap community. But I don't know, Shizzy, what do you think? Do you think I'm off on that?
No, I think it's a great idea. So it sounds to me, and like, tell me if I'm wrong here, but you guys are going to upgrade Bitmap. You're going to take it from the JSON file that it is today to something that's on chain, potentially a BRC420. Am I hearing that correctly?
Yeah, I think the one of the things that I loved about the original concept of BRC420 is it has the characteristics of both a fungible and non-fungible token. So I think right now they basically exist as the non-fungible tokens, right? It's like you have the NFT part, but the sort of the, I think the best way to think of it is like the commodity trading aspect, the resource trading aspect, that hasn't been touched on at all. And I think there's a massive opportunity. One, I think that is the differentiator from Metaverse to Bitcoin Metaverse. That whole, you know, everything that comes after opening that door, I think is so unique to Bitcoin that there's just, you know, immense value that we haven't even gotten to yet, because that's there that everyone can see, but we just don't have the tools to access it and create it right now.
Yeah, because that would be awesome if I could take my Bitmap to you, to your website, and then upgrade it to a BRC20, pay the fee, and then I can flip it around and all that stuff. Is that something that you guys could potentially build, or am I just imagination going crazy here?
No, that's your imagination is crazy, but it's a great, yeah. So just the you know, just having as many different things that allow people to utilize their bitmaps and ways that are actually fun, exciting, profitable, and enjoyable for sure.
Because I would pay for that. If I could take one of my Bitmaps to your site and then you guys make it a BRC420, I paid the inscription fee and now I could trade it differently on it. I don't know. It sounds awesome. There's so many different ways you guys could really go with this. It's like, I love how you guys are building the tooling potentially for Bitmap. And there's, you know, the process is probably endless, but there's probably so much opportunity.
Yeah, and that's one of the things, having the a more real world assets background is helpful with as well, right? So it's like, you know, if you think of, I mean, pretty much you can trade anything in real world markets, right? So people bundle car loans, people bundle credit card debt. You know, when you had the 2008 crisis, it was people bundling mortgages. Now, that in itself wasn't the problem. The fact that no one knew what the heck they were buying and then leveraged that up, that turned out to be a pretty big problem. But the part of bundling these things together, that just makes it much more efficient to trade. So, for example, to Shizzy, to use your example, if you've got a bitmap and you've got, you know, 2,000 transactions within that, which is 2,000 parcels, just to make it a nice round number, you know, maybe 500 of those have similar characteristics and that are high value. Maybe 100 of them have similar characteristics that are low value. Maybe, you know, the rest have somewhere in the middle, right? Does it make more sense to trade that as a single bitmap? Probably not. You can, but it's probably not the most efficient in terms of, one, getting a buyer what it is that they actually want, and then two, you know, the efficiency of making sure that you get the most value of what you have. And that's the kind of like mirror of the traditional, traditional real world asset management that I think we bring that most other people aren't even really thinking about. It's like, okay, how can we trade that bundle of parcels and maybe mix and match them together, kind of make those into separate things. And that in and of itself, I mean, you know, it's crypto. People will trade anything, and it'll definitely trade anything if it actually has value. So that's the sort of the long-term view that we're looking at.
100%. And the layers of value, like you just explained, because like at the end of the day, like if you're pulling data from each bitmap and different types of data points, and you know, each data point is another layer of value. But let's say like one bitmap just doesn't have those other layers, like, or an abundance of it, you still have that base layer of value of the bitmap, right? And so I think that's like what the dream has always been for most everybody in here. And then somewhere along the line, the people that were passionate about it just kind of started to go into their own directions, and there wasn't this community of similar thought that was there earlier. But I'm really hoping that this brings it back. And this is a big daunting task, you know. And I know that you've been guided through the Bitcoin Startup Lab, but could you talk a little bit about like how big your team is and what that looks like?
Yeah, for sure. As I swap my headset here. Yeah, so I was talking to, so I'm in Dubai right now, just went through Token 2049, and Bitcoin Startup Lab, one of the great things that they do is have mixers around events, so you get to meet investors, you get to meet, you know, people in the cohort that you haven't met, but you also get to meet other founders that have gone through. So virtually, I met Robin from Liquidium a while back, and this is the first time we got to meet in person, and one of the things that we spoke about was he was kind of like my example of going through. And Liquidium, for those who don't know, is a lending platform for basically ordinals, but all kinds of Bitcoin related assets. And he went through the entire thing and didn't have his current technical co-founder yet. So basically he went through the process doing those things, talking to people, building Figmas, getting feedback. So as I was going through, you know, looking for a technical co-founder, you know, that's what Albert was telling me. It's like, stick to the process, stick to the formula. It worked out for Robin at Liquidium. Just follow that and you'll be okay. And ultimately found Jason, the technical, I call him my core dev. He likes to be called an intern for fun. But, you know, he's built things for institutional staking, or staking clients for institutional, companies that are like, you know, all the names that you would probably think of when you talk about, you know, the top 500 institutional staking clients in the world. Right, multiple billions of dollars of stuff. So it's like you ultimately get to, you know, find the people that you need and just the perfect time. So still a pretty small team. It's us two right now. The main thing that we're looking for right now is a designer. We've been fortunate to start to particularly grow in, you know, as my voice would probably suggest, I'm a Westerner. For those who've been following the space, a lot of the development center of gravity for Bitmap and BRC 420 is in Asia, you know, Hong Kong, Shanghai, Singapore, one of the reasons I wanted to move to Dubai. So we're starting to get some great community support in that area, which I'm super, super excited about. So those are really, I mean, being at the you know, kind of pre-seed stage, definitely trying to keep the team small. So that's our core group right now.
Gotcha. So you guys are still looking for that for that front end design kind of dev, because you got the back end resolved right now, right?
Yes.
Gotcha.
Awesome. Yeah, and we're talking to some folks, some names I think that you would probably know, and I think that's one of the benefits that we're getting as well, is just like kind of knowing the people in the space. It's like, oh, you make cool stuff. Would you like to come work with us?
Gotcha.
And it's
gotcha,
like, gotcha. All right, it's slowly but surely filling out.
Gotcha. Well, you know, I'm excited for y'all, because this is something that I've been talking about with Shizzy, just kind of like Bitmap needs something. I even told him too. I was like, because, you know, we've been brought on as advisors for a couple different projects, and, you know, one of them is building on Merlin as well. Not anything competing with you guys, but, you know, something to kind of, you know, even if it's like a Bitmap token as well, like to where you can, you know, trade your you know, put your Bitmap up for a Bitmap fungible token on in Merlin and trade that, anything to kind of like, you know, get that energy and community going. But something like what you guys are building, I think is like really amazing, because it's like, you're not starting over from scratch, but what you're doing is saying, hey, maybe we could have done a couple things better before with how we do the parent and child, you know, being able to set the parent as the main bitmap and the parcels as a child, and then going on to that next step. Because at the end of the day, we all want the parceling. We want the goods that are on our bitmap, because that's going to get us excited, because now our bitmaps are worth more.
Yes, at the end of the day, yes,
right?
Exactly.
And then we want the interactive part, the gaming, the what have you, to be able to utilize those assets on our bitmap in a game environment. And I think those three things, you know, are what we're all looking for in the Bitmap community. And it looks like that's something that you guys are looking to kind of solidify and establish. Because once that's established, then it's a network. It's an open source network. Yes. To where all these other builders can come. And that's what we need, in my opinion.
Yeah. And I think you're right, because coming from the other direction, there's great progress being made, right? You've got Inscribed Space, you've got Bitmap Valley, you've got Foxy, you've got Ords Games. It's like that side of it, of the equation, if you kind of look at it as a line, I definitely think that part is one, I think it's inevitable. I think two, there's some great folks working on it right now. I'm not worried about that at all. I think I'd personally get excited about, you know, nerdy tooling stuff personally. So that's why, you know, it's like I'm taking this part of it up. And I think those two things, once they meet together, I think that exactly is what's going to happen. It's just, that's where the big bang happens.
Yeah, man. I could definitely see some partnerships and announcements in the future. Bitmap Valley, Foxy, Bitmap Community. It sounds like you guys have a lot of reaching out to do and a lot of people to talk to, but I'm very excited for your future. It's been absolutely amazing to talk to. This is kind of the part of the show where I kind of want to give you the stage to talk to our community. You can kind of say whatever you want, your last couple of minutes here, you know, speak to our community. Stage is yours.
Yeah. So I think one of the things I would say, and if I could go back to the show that Jeff was on, and I'd disagree with you guys on one thing for sure. So, and just to give background with, I think one of the things that's weighing on Bitmap right now, which is, you know, there's a lot of bitmaps that are locked up right now. So locked up in Merlin Chain, the idea was that, okay, you lock up your bitmaps, and then over time, as they get staked, you'll get these additional assets and airdrops, and then everyone's happy. In practice, I think what's happened is maybe a lot more people staked than anyone thought there would possibly be. So last check, there was what, like 30% of all bitmaps were locked into Merlin Chain. The second thing is the market's changed since, you know, I think a lot of people started locking them up. We're in like the bitmaps are in the 300 to 400-ish range. Now they're sub 100. So everything's great until the number goes down in crypto. So we have that. And then, you know, all the other stuff that's come about. It's like runes have come, rune stones have come. You know, just everything changes all the time. So there's this kind of funk, right? I think we can agree, like, bitmap is in a bit of a funk. And to me, I think the best way to deal with that is just to rip the Band-Aid off. So I think there's a sentiment that says, hey, the market's down, don't unlock bitmaps now, because then, you know, everyone's going to, or at least a big enough number of folks are just going to be like, I'm going to dump it, buy some rune that name I probably can't pronounce right now, just because they're mostly so offensive in the best possible way. I am a shit coiner as well, so it's not a criticism, but it's just the reality. And that's, you know, the concern. It's like, if you unlock all of, you know, 30% of the supply, then a whole bunch of it is going to dump. And bitmap to 20,000, but might go to zero first. Like, that's the scenario, right? Where it like just goes as close as you can to zero. But I think that's what should happen. I think that's the potential is you get into this sort of original sin, right? It's like, hey, we're trying to build this free and open, you know, sovereign digital space in the metaverse. But at the very beginning, we're not going to let you actually have the land that you own. It's like, that is just a fundamental disconnect. And it's like, yeah, we want this, you know, decentralized thing where everyone can plug in and plug out. And it's like, but we're going to make the centralized decision to not allow you to buy or sell, or not allow you to sell, right? It's like, those are just fundamentally opposed things. And the longer, and this is just my opinion, but the longer that festers, like, the more unintended consequences you have. Honestly, I think the best thing would be to do the unlock on halving day, because everyone else, it's called, you know, the Friday dump, right? It's like, everyone else is so busy with other things. People would have been like, oh, that's right, I have these unlocked bitmaps. And no one would have even, you know, thought about it too much. But we're in this situation now where it's like, it's kind of, you know, it's like a death grip, right? It's like, I want to build something, but who really wants to build on, you know, on the lowlands in front of this giant dam that's leaking and that, you know, is going to burst, right? So it's like, you know, the sooner we get past that, my opinion, I think the better. And I don't want to hear, and, you know, to Jeff and Merlin Chain's defense, I don't want to, you know, they shouldn't be criticized at all, to be honest. One, no one forced you to give your bitmaps to anybody, let alone one place. No one forced you to do that, right? So everyone take responsibility for that. And then two, you know, Jeff came on your show and said, hey, I don't really want the responsibility of, you know, having this development because I've got $3 billion to deal with over here. And it's like, yes, please focus on that, because that going bad would be bad for everyone, let alone, you know, bitmap, right? So
100%.
I think that, you know, everything that they're doing makes perfect sense. And obviously everyone's, you know, it's my opinion, everyone typically is trying to make the best decision that they can with what the situation is and what they have. But regardless of how we got here, this is where we're at. Nothing good is going to happen while 30% of bitmaps are locked up in one place. I think we can agree that's not an ideal scenario. So sooner we can get beyond that, the better.
Yeah.
So before I chill my own stuff, I'd love to get your thoughts on that.
Well, yeah, to me, it's like, obviously I want all my stuff out, right? I want everything back, my self-custody. But safety first. I want Jeff to do it in the smartest way possible. And if that means waiting, that is fine, because I want to make sure, you know, that my Merlin tokens stay up in value, and anything like that happens, be pretty drastic to not just the price, but the devastation of the chain. So to me, I'm like, Jeff, take your time. You know, I'm not really, if it takes another couple of weeks, I'm completely fine with it, because I'd rather have, you know, the chain stay in good sight of everyone. You know, everyone thinks it's amazing right now, and I want it to stay that way. So in my eyes, take as long as you need to make sure these assets come out of there safely.
And then for me, I'm similar boat as Shizzy. I definitely think safety first, because like you said, reputation matters here. I think I also agree with you. I think like releasing those bitmaps, kind of getting that Band-Aid ripped off. But I don't know if bitmaps will get hit as hard as some of these other like puppets, because like so many people are asking for their puppets because puppets jumped up so high, right? Bitmaps already taken that hit. Like it's taken the hit, you know? So like a lot of these people that are getting their bitmaps back, a lot of them might have the mindset of, you know, I they have conviction. Maybe they'll say, you know, I know I'm not selling my bitmaps as soon as I get them back. I'm holding them, but I also have conviction in bitmap. I think it's going to be bitmaps taken, you know, been the punching bag the past 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. I think that there's not a ton of downside left. Yes, it could obviously go to $20. Who knows? Or less. You never know. But I think some of these other assets that like are really high, there's Node Monks, there's puppets that are coming out of there. There's other ones that people can sell for pretty good Bitcoin prices right now. And then they can kind of rotate that into runes if that's what they're looking for. But that's just kind of my perspective on it.
Yeah. One more thing, though, is like, yeah, I can sell my bitmap right now. I can go to element.market and I can list it. I can buy them there. So to me, it's not that big of a deal. I can sell all my bitmaps right now, and I can buy, you know, hundreds right now as well. So there's definitely a market there. They are a lot. They're about, I don't know, 40% cheaper to buy on element.market than it is to buy them on Magic Eden. But it's still, I mean, I think they go to that price, and that's the minimum. So it's not that far. I mean, 40% does suck. But I think that'll be the bottom.
Yeah, and I think that's also the opportunity, right? For, you know, a lot of people who, and you know, don't want to paint with too broad of a brush, but you know, a lot of people got in early, you know, and me talking to people, I've met people that, you know, yeah, I minted like 3,000 of them for like $2, right? I've got 1,000, I've got a few hundred, where it's like, you know, yeah, it's like, they're more than happy to rotate out of some or half, but that's the opportunity for so many people who are still here, it's like, yes, I would love to see them buy your bitmap for $20, for $40, for, you know, whatever it ultimately ends up going down to. And I think that's the sort of the positive aspect of the unlock, is that letting that cleansing happen and letting that rotation happen to people who have already seen, who've felt the pain and are still here. Because if you felt the pain and you're still here, like those are the core people that we definitely want on the ground floor.
Yeah, completely agree.
Excellent. Well, I was about to say, the shilling part. So, because you know Ben Schiller, I definitely have to make myself worthy of the name. So the thing that we're looking for right now, particularly with Bitmap 420, is our testnet. So we've just opened our testnet waitlist, and you know, really looking at this as a co-creative process. So you know, trying to get people who definitely want to see, you know, the space evolve, and looking at it from a point of getting feedback from the various earliest stages possible at every stage. So we're talking, you know, sharing wireframes. It's like, okay, getting feedback on wireframes. It's like sharing a mockup. Okay, this is the mockup. And, you know, on and on as we get to the actual testnet deployment, and then ultimately on mainnet. So that's our big adventure right now, which is filling up our testnet waitlist. So if you love Bitmap and you want to see utility of Bitmap, you love BRC 420, you want to see utility and liquidity to both of those things, definitely go to bitmap420.com. Yes, we got a .com, which is awesome. And in the scroll down a bit, or there's a button at the top that lets you start to earn points because crypto, and we're definitely going to be doing points that ultimately potentially lead to token airdrop as I do my lawyer speak. But it starts with getting onto the testnet. And if you want to multiply your points, we do have a BRC420 asset that you can either mint from BRC420.io, or we put, and this has been an instructive experiment, is we minted a bunch of these assets, our egg zero, minted them on BRC420.io and just put them on Magic Eden at mint price. And that right now is mostly where the sales are taking place. So people are given the choice between just buying on Magic Eden. I think we've sold more in the last 2 weeks than we had in like the previous 2-3 months or however long they were on there. So we try to keep the Magic Eden site filled, take some time to get things on there from time to time. But you've got options. So if you want to mint directly, or if you want to go to Magic Eden and buy a floor, we typically have a supply there. And just as a quick thing, why we did it this way. So, and this is, I think, one of the things that made me really want to build a marketplace for BRC420 was the thing that you're looking at is oh my goodness, I can totally just do a whole separate thing on this. So basically the marketplaces don't treat BRC420s as I feel that they should yet. So for example, what you're looking at right now is a GIF of the image. But if you click into one of those, just any one of those, and you get to the one of the inscription things. So yeah, scroll down to the right and click on the inscription ID and copy that over and throw that into Genie Data. Is that and you'll see that the so for example, Genie Data will actually treat this as a 3D object where you can spin it around and turn it and zoom in, and you can see all the generative art aspects. Whereas one of the marketplaces like Magic Eden just says, hey, throw up an animated GIF, and that's what you get. So in making this, so yeah, now try to just like spin that the egg around.
Oh, there it is.
Oh, there you go. It does stuff. So that thing, and if you go to like hit like the oh, little code, cool. Yeah, hit the little code icon underneath that.
On the bottom.
Underneath the egg.
Yeah, right there. Up. This? Right, right there.
Left.
Then the one to the left.
Gotcha. Oh, okay.
Scroll up. It's the HTML.
Yeah, so that's the recursive thing. And if you actually really click in and copy that onto that inscription, and then you'll see like the actual code. But anyway, that egg itself is like 2K or something like that. So it was just to start to get the idea about like, hey, you can start to build. And this is ultimately where I see the Bitcoin metaverse coming. We'll see how it unfolds. But basically, you're not creating things. You're creating code, and the code creates the thing. Whether that's an experience, whether that's an environment, ultimately the code will be able to create itself. that's like the AI future vision, but that kind of efficiency, and you're starting to see it. If look up Bitmap Sunset. I think that's the best example so far. Look at all the stuff that Bobbleton's doing. That's another great example with the Bitcopter, where you have code that's starting to generate the experiences. Super, super efficient, super creative, and just really, really fun. So I think those are the types of things that I get super excited about. Bringing it all back. If you have the egg, that's a points multiplier. So for your potential token airdrop, if you have the egg and you accumulate points, your points will multiply for all the people who hold the eggs. So go get the egg.
Now, would this token be a rune, BRC20? What are you guys thinking? Obviously, you're probably not there yet, but if you had to choose today, what would you choose?
Not there yet. I think in practice, as someone who's, you know, like I said, I'm a big supporter, down 80% on the weekend because, you know, runes and names.
I think that's one of the clunky things about runes. I think obviously from a tech standpoint, they're more efficient. I think the naming part I don't know if it's a barrier yet. I guess we'll see. But, you know, I'm looking at the stuff that's on OKX on the, you know, Web3 marketplace on Uniset. And I'm like, is Bybit going to be able to list recycle the cum? I don't think so, right? Is Coinbase going to be able to do Manco or whatever? It's like, and that's fun. You know, I'm into puppets. I've created, you know, if you go to the Inscribe Space Marketplace, I created a ketamine monkey pup to go into the Inscribe Space. So I'm all down with it. That's not a criticism at all. But in terms of, you know, bringing liquidity and utility, it's like, I'm not sure I can, you know, fulfill that if it means standing next to, you know, the recycle the cum ticker.
Well, on that note, we're going to call this a show. But Ben, you did win an award, man. The ugliest PFP I ever had to stare at for an hour.
Hey, you can't talk crap about Blue Steel, man. Blue Steel takes over.
Absolutely. That's my kind of sub goal, which is to deep fake myself into a version of Derek Zoolander. So we'll see how that goes.
Merman.
Merlin. Merman. Oh, I love where this is going.
All right, dude. We got to get out of here. But thank you so much, my friend. We can't wait to have you on again with some updates. And hopefully they'll be soon. So I'm expecting you to get to work and start getting this stuff up, because I'm excited for what you're building.
Excellent. Nighttime for you guys. It's sunrise here in Dubai, and definitely what we're about to do. Get back to work.
Awesome.
That sounds awesome. Thanks a lot, Ben.
See you soon.
Thank you.
Absolutely amazing. He's an amazing person. We had the chance to talk to him a bunch on Spaces. He's been a guest so many times, which has been absolutely amazing. But this is really awesome and very intimate, and really got to know him as a person and what his project's building. But it's absolutely awesome.
Yeah. We just need it. Like, it needs to come together, and I feel like he's the right project manager for this. And this is going to be big for Bitmap. So all you Bitmappers, I wore the shirt for the show, and just, you know, hang in there a little longer, because, you know, this is something that can bring everything together. You still, like he said, you got people building. Still, you got the I'm So Chris's, you got the, you know, the Foxies and the Inscribe.space. Now all they need is just a place to meet together and to have consensus. And our community will be back thriving very soon, I believe. So we'll see.
Yeah, man. All right, guys. Please smash the like for us. It really helps the show. Please hit the subscribe. It really helps. Hit the little bell icon, because that helps as well. We appreciate everyone that watches, everyone who engages. Remember, we are live Monday to Friday from 11 to 12:30 Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Central Time. So check us out, guys. We're live all week. Come ask questions. We can really get into a lot of things being live. So we appreciate you guys. And definitely check out orderingrevolution.com. We have some of the best articles. If you're going to Bitcoin Nashville, we have a 20% coupon at the top there. Click that. We'll meet us in Nashville. We'll be there. And if you need some ordinal gear to wear in Nashville, we have a store there as well. So check that out. If you're not going to wear our gear, wear someone else's. Let's show the maxis that you're ordinals, and let's really be out there and show that ordinals are the thing to be. But did I miss anything, my friend?
Nope. That's it.
All right, guys. We'll see you soon.
Peace.
Ordinal Revolution. Let's go.